It's great to be back with you this evening. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. One thing that I wanted to mention, don't forget about the Real Foot Youth Camp benefit, the spaghetti supper and catfish. It will be this Saturday. It's from, I want to say, 4 to 7, and I think the food begins to be being served at 5. They'll also have a silent auction, and so if you've ever gone, it's a good trip. It's good food. Usually a lot of folks there, and so if you get the opportunity to help out with that, we have two main fundraisers that we do at the camp. We have this benefit, and then we have the iHeart RYC Week that we do, which is an online event every year, and those are the two fundraising events. So the funds that are used to help improve the camp and fix things that are broken, you think about it, when you've got 8 through 18 year olds there during the summer, there are lots of things that get broken, and so this is the benefit that helps those things take place. This morning we began looking at courage. We talked about the fact that as Christians, we need to be courageous. We need courage in the Lord's church today. And we need courageous elders who will protect the Lord's body from false teaching and sin despite the consequences. We need courageous preachers who will herald the truth of God's Word even when it's unpopular to do so. We need courageous members who will support godly elderships and preachers and will stand up for the cause of Christ despite whatever the consequences may be. We need courageous people. And tonight we look at one of those courageous individuals from the New Testament. And that is a man by the name of Ananias. Ananias was a courageous person. And his courage caused four things to take place. 4 points that we want to notice together. Number one tonight, the courage of Ananias caused him to be ready. The courage of Ananias caused him to be ready. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, we're in Acts chapter 9 tonight. Acts chapter 9, we're going to begin in verse 10. There was there a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. We've noticed this phrase, here I am. In fact, we've noticed a complete sermon on that phrase, here I am. And we've talked about the fact that this statement in Scriptures, it's not a statement about presence, but about preparedness. It's not a statement of here I am physically in this spot, but here I am, I'm prepared, I'm ready to do what it is you want me to do, Lord. We see numerous examples of when people answered with this phrase. Abraham answered in Genesis chapter 22. When God called for him to sacrifice his son Isaac, he said, Here I am. Moses answered that way in Exodus chapter 3. When God called to him from the burning bush, Moses says, Here I am. Samuel answered that way in the temple in 1 Samuel chapter 3. When God called to him, he said, Here I am. Isaiah answered that way in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And when God said, the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. God inquires of Ananias, and Ananias says, He's ready. Here I am. Is that the same attitude that you and I have? Are we ready to answer the call of God? In verse 11, God begins to give Ananias instructions. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. Ananias is instructed to go to a man by the name of Saul. And as we're going to see in our next point, Saul was someone that was well known. And so this was something that Ananias, he knew where he was going. He knew who he was going to speak to. And also as a side note, notice what Saul's doing here. We find out here that Saul is praying. As you read the account of Acts chapter 9, you see up to this point, Saul, he's seen a vision of Christ. He's spoken with him. We find out from other passages that he's been fasting here for 3 days. And we also see, according to this verse, that he's been praying during that time as well. Saul's been doing all of that. But despite all of that, you know what else we know about Saul? He isn't saved yet. We know that he's still in his sins. We know that because later on in Acts chapter 22, as Paul recalls this event, in verse 16 of Acts 22, he recalls Ananias telling him, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." If Saul had already been forgiven, then there wouldn't have been sins there to wash away, right? But yet that's what Ananias tells him to do. If he's told to wash away his sins, that means those sins are present. Saul, at this point, despite seeing a vision of Christ, despite talking with Christ, despite fasting for 3 days, despite praying during that time, he still is in need of salvation. In verse 12, God continues with instructions to Ananias, and he has seen a vision. In a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. God tells Ananias that basically Saul's waiting on him. Friends, God isn't going to do our part for us. That's something that's always amazed me in the book of Acts. Anytime someone needed to hear the message of the gospel, needed to hear what they needed to do in order to have their sins forgiven, not once did an angel, God, the Lord, anyone tell that individual what they needed to do. Someone was always sent to them to tell them. You know why that is? Because that's our responsibility, brother. It's our responsibility to tell people what God has said to do. Like Ananias, we need to be ready. Ready to preach and teach the gospel to those who we come across. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Both passages relating the Great Commission, our responsibility to teach to people what God has said. Paul in Romans 1, 15 says, "I am ready to preach." And that needs to be our attitude as well. We need to be ready to answer for the hope that is in us, 1 Peter 3, 15. We need to be ready to do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. Ananias was courageous, and that courage made him ready, and it should make us ready as well. Number two, the courage of Ananias caused him to be realistic. The courage of Ananias caused him to be realistic. Notice in verse 13, "But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem.'" Ananias had some natural reservations, right? Saul wasn't just anybody. This was an individual who had received letters from the Sanhedrin court. He's traveled as far as Damascus now, and he was coming there to find people who were Christians, to haul them back to Jerusalem, to put them on trial, and to have them put to death. And Ananias basically says, "Are you talking about this guy?" He's not seeking to shirk his responsibility. If that's what we think he's doing, then we're missing the point here. But he is simply being realistic. This morning we talked about something that courage isn't. We said that courage isn't the absence of fear, but it's the presence of faith. Well, courage also isn't reckless abandonment, but it's measured action. Ananias isn't seeking to not go, but he's like, "God, you know who this guy is, right?" In verse 14, God continues, and here Ananias continues, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Ananias realizes that if this goes the wrong way, he's not going to be able to do anything else for the Lord. So he wants to make sure. You know, there are times in scriptures when people of God fled from danger. Elijah did so. 1 Kings chapter 19. Jesus did so on occasion. John chapter 8, verse 59. Luke chapter 4 and verse 30. You come into the New Testament, you read through the book of Acts. There were times that Paul fled from one city to another, fleeing from danger. Wasn't that these individuals weren't courageous? Was not that they wouldn't have been willing to stand and suffer whatever consequences might have arrived? But sometimes courage is also realistic. And we need to be realistic with our courage today. We need to study the situation. We need to make righteous judgments. We need to be willing to do whatever is needed, but we need to make sure that we're following the right course in that process. And of course, the way we determine the right course is through God's Word. Ananias was courageous. And that courage caused him to be ready. It caused him to be realistic. And number three, the courage of Ananias caused him to be receptive. It caused him to be receptive. Going back to our text in verses 15 and 16, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.'" Ananias was ready to do God's will. We'll notice that in just a moment. But at the same time, he was realistic to the situation that he was facing. And once he realized this is definitely what God wants, he was receptive to that. Notice the beginning of verse 17. "So Ananias departed." As I said earlier, Ananias wasn't seeking here to shirk his responsibility. He was just being realistic to the situation. And once God said, "Go, he's who I want," then Ananias departed. He entered his house and, laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul," and by the way, some have gone to that passage and said, "See, he's already saved." Ananias refers to him as brother. Well, he was his brother. He was his Jewish brother. These two individuals were brethren by way of nationality. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Think about the courage needed to go to Saul. I mean, if this would have all been a ruse by Saul, then Ananias, he's walking into his death. But God said go, so Ananias went. We need to be receptive to God's Word today. When we read or learn something through a sermon or through our own study of God's Word, when we learn that we're doing something maybe that's not according to God's will, what do we do with that? Do we receive that instruction from God's Word and change, or would he say, "Well, I like that, so I'm going to keep doing it"? Do we only follow God's will when it lines up with our will? Because, brethren, if that's the only reason we do what God says is because we agree with it, if the only time we follow God is when His will lines up with our will, that's not obedience. We have to be receptive to all of God's Word. Ananias was courageous. That courage caused him to be ready. It caused him to be realistic. It caused him to be receptive. And then finally, number four, the courage of Ananias caused great results. The courage of Ananias caused great results. Notice verses 18 and 19. "And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened for some days. He was with the disciples of Damascus." What if Ananias had been afraid to tell Paul what he needed to hear? I mean, God would have sent someone else, no doubt. But then Ananias would have missed out on this opportunity to be an instrument of God to bring salvation to the man who would become the Apostle Paul. To the man who would become the greatest missionary the church has ever known. To the man who established these congregations and the infancy of the church. The man who wrote a good portion of the New Testament. You know what's interesting about Ananias? We read nothing else of him. I mean, he's mentioned again in Acts chapter 22. But that's Paul standing before a mob of Jews explaining to them why he has done what he's done in preaching, teaching the Gentiles. And in that speech, he references what took place. And so he mentions Ananias there. But as far as Ananias doing anything else that we know about, he fades from the pages of Scripture. but through his actions, through his courage. He had a part in every person that Paul taught. In every individual that Paul baptized, in every congregation that Paul established, Ananias had a part in that. In verses 20 and 21, and immediately he, Paul, Saul, proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" Y'all, that was a powerful message seen in what Saul's doing here. Because they knew who Saul was. They knew why he came. He didn't come to proclaim Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God. He came to arrest those who did that. But yet now he's the one doing it. In verse 22, "But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ." All of that because of the courage of one man. Ananias was courageous. And we should be as well. That courage will cause us to be ready, to be realistic, to be receptive, and it will cause great results for the cause of Christ. Friend, are you courageous this evening? If you're not a Christian, are you courageous enough to become one? Believing in Jesus and turning from sin, confessing that belief, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe you've done that, you are a Christian, but you've turned away from Him. Friend, have the courage to come home. Let's be courageous children of God. Let's serve God faithfully. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.